word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back.
We are back, baby. We are fucking back. We're back.
Yeah.
Classic. We are back.
That's
we
right.
are back.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode one of Fourth and Wrong. I'm your host, Tyler Huck.
Say it, Tyler.
And as always, my co-host, Chris Marler. There are no representations of who we represent. We are on our own.
We are Ricky Bobby with the me logo on the side of his car. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yep.
All right. We're back, baby.
We are back. We're on our own. If you want to sponsor the show, please, by all means.
Yeah.
Please, God, do.
Please, really, God.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the new rule changes for college football. We're going to talk a little updated odds on the Heisman talk and SEC championship odds. We'll talk a little NCAA versus Tennessee and the NFL Combine. But this is our first episode, Chris, for Fourth and Wrong.
Yeah.
If you've known us from somewhere else before, welcome back. I see a lot of familiar faces in the chat.
Love it.
If you wouldn't mind sharing this with your friends, this time we really do mean it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Listen, we'll get into questions and shit at the end of it. Probably won't do that at the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. We'll answer any questions you guys have. I know people have been asking like what happened, and we're like, first and foremost, like we're fine. Like we're completely fine. It's not anything that was super negative. It was unexpected. But it wasn't something that ended non-amicably. So I want to get that out of the way first, because I know it's going to be a question. I know a lot of people are here waiting for me to freak out, waiting for me to be petty.
Yeah.
Tyler said I can't, so it's not my fault. But we'll answer questions at the end. All I'll say to start the show is, like Tyler said, we are doing this on our own and getting started kind of from ground zero and what's it called, Tyler? The ground floor?
Yeah, the ground floor.
Yeah. But as of today, with just me and Tyler, it feels fine and it feels good. We appreciate all y'all's support. Like I said, especially the familiar faces in the chat, we're getting the same amount of resources and help right now on this episode as we got for basically the last 2.5 years. So we are fired up and excited and ready to go. And as somebody said in the comments, fuck them. Let's go. Let's start.
No one needs the suits.
No one needs the suits.
All right. So it's been a while since we've caught up. There's been some things that have happened in college football.
I shaved my face.
You shaved your face,
which I would say
is probably like a top five thing happening in college football at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, I believe this Friday, the NCAA Rules Committee is voting on recommendations for a few significant rule changes. We've kind of been used to all these rule changes that we've been seeing,
yeah,
kind of have to do with like off the field stuff, like
right.
NIL and all, and college football playoff and all that. But these changes that they're voting on, that if they pass, are going to be, I think, pretty transformational in some areas, are all on the field stuff. First thing, I think, you know, given all the stuff that happened at Michigan, and there's been countless other accusations thrown around,
yeah.
They're voting on basically implementing the helmet communication system like the NFL has. So called the teams will have the ability to communicate with one player on the field through the helmet until the play clock hits 15 seconds. And then the system will automatically cut off until the next play.
Yeah. Fine.
Do you see any reason to not have this?
No. So the only thing I'm going to miss out of this is seeing the ridiculous signs on the side. Like the funny part about this, like in something we see in college football that we don't really see in the NFL, it's like all those, like all the signs you see, it'll be like Sonic the Hedgehog, Cam Newton, like a number four and like a large Dr. Pepper. And you're like, what does that mean? And you'll see him on the sidelines all the time. And then I love seeing like the three different scout team quarterbacks on the sideline, all wearing like it'd be like for Bama, like a Bama hat, but it's like orange, Carolina blue, and green. You're like, what the fuck is happening?
And they're all giving different signals, so you don't know which one's actually signaling in the play.
They brought back that whole thing from Lids, like circa 2000, when Fred Durst had like the red Yankees hat, and they started making like all like the neon color hats for all the baseball teams. That's basically what it was. So really dating ourselves here. I think this is fine. I think this is great. From a gameplay standpoint, I think it might bring back some huddling, because you only have till 15 seconds to get the play in, mm-hmm. and you're only giving it to one person. It's only to the quarterback, right?
Yep.
But I think it's a good rule. I think it's good.
Yeah, no, I think it's good too. Another change that will be more like the NFL is that teams will be able to use tablets on the sideline and at halftime, which is obviously it feels like every time they scan over to the sideline in the NFL, everyone's looking at iPads, like dissecting what just happened. That will now be allowed in the college game if this passes. I think another thing that's just, it'll be utilized well for the smart coaches, and I just think it enhances player development. I don't see any problem with this one either. What about
I'm tired of fucking Gen Z with their screen time, you know?
That's true.
Like, I mean, we saw last year in the Arkansas game at halftime, one of those Arkansas games, they were watching Polar Express. If I look over on the sideline and Jalen Milroe is catching up on the newest episode of Bluey, I'm going to lose my shit. So, love Bluey. Time and a place for it, Tyler. Time and a place for it.
Understandable. The last one I think is the biggest one, and it is a 2-minute warning, just like the NFL. So the break will work the same, end of the second quarter, end of the fourth quarter, 2-minute warning. Essentially gives everybody, or one team at least, an extra timeout. I guess both teams, they both get the timeout. But what do you think?
I fucking hate it. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it so much. And I was talking this with Mike Breton on his podcast last night, and it really pisses me off, because this is a change no one asked for. No, this wasn't something that was like, oh my gosh, it would be great if we get a 2-minute warning in college football. Nobody asked for that. It doesn't help the gameplay. A year ago, you decided that we're like, you know what, we're going to do a running clock unless this and this happen, because we need to speed up gameplay. No one asked for that, and we got that. And now you're talking about having a 2-minute warning, and we all know the reason why, but of course the NCAA and the powers that be that don't give a shit about the fans, the reason they came up with was, yes, Robert Nittleman brings up a good point. He says, didn't we just change the rules to speed up the game last year? And now all of a sudden,
that was a facade, though. It was just to have more commercials.
Right, right. And then the whole thing, though, is, you know what? We need to have this rule in place, because the reason behind it is we want to avoid back-to-back timeouts. Well, one, anytime you have back-to-back timeouts, that's usually strictly when you're trying to ice a kicker at the end of a half, right? Like that's 90% of when that happens. It rarely happens. So if you're trying to get rid of that, it's already not really a problem. And also, if you have back-to-back timeouts, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but it seems like the way the gameplay has turned in the last couple of years, if you do call back-to-back timeouts, they've largely been 30-second timeouts. If there's a full timeout, it's followed by a 30-second timeout. So there's no reason for this. And so that's the reason they gave is the back-to-back timeouts, but we all know the real reason, and that is you're going to guarantee that you can get another commercial in there. And if you see the NFL, those are like the 2-minute warning. Everyone knows the 2-minute warning is, and that is like not appointment viewing, but like, you're not going to necessarily turn the channel after the 2-minute warning, because you only have 2 minutes left in the half. So that's prime advertising dollars that are going to be spent, but it's yet another thing that the NCAA and whoever's in charge and making these decisions is doing without anyone wanting it, without it being necessary, and just to make their pockets even fatter than before.
How much golf do you watch, like PGA?
I played golf this weekend, Tyler.
How much golf do you watch?
Oh, not much.
Well, they have this thing called playing through, where essentially they just go to commercial, but while they still leave the coverage of the golf on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like split screen in a sense. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting till sports just start doing that for commercials.
Right.
They just start mixing them in like, hey, you know what? During this punt play, it was a three and out. Why don't we just show a commercial and
yeah,
we'll keep the coverage. And it just everything skews towards how can the TV companies make more ad dollars. And
yeah,
but yeah, I agree. I'm not with the 2 minute. Let's do something different than the NFL. I mean,
yeah,
unless we just really want to be like clearly like a minor league for the NFL, which is semi what it is already, but not really.
Yeah. Well, players that's like become a thing more and more with what Trent Dilfer said, surprisingly enough. Two things about that. I don't know how much TV you're watching right now, but I mean, since I'm fun employed, I am just cruising through Law and Order and One Tree Hill. You know what I don't want to see more than anything or have to hear more than anything is that damn Zales commercial one more time. If the two things that I'm going to freak out about is if they cut to a commercial and I hear, I get to love you one more time, just one more time.
Whoa, or censored on the new pod.
What's that?
Are we censored on the new pod?
Well, we technically got censored from the uncensored podcast. So maybe we'll bring in some more marketing dollars if I don't cuss as much. No, but I think the other thing that I hated about the NFL, and it's literally the thing that I hated most about the NFL, which is touchdown, commercial, kickoff, commercial, first down. It's my least favorite thing about the NFL. And they're not trying to mimic the NFL from a structural standpoint or like what they do like logistically with like a playoff system or anything like that. They are just trying to mimic how the NFL is making more money than any other sporting league in the country or in the world.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a great job of it, it seems.
Yeah.
If that's what their main goal is. Still early, but, and look, there's still going to be spring ball. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be transfers. There's going to be a lot going on, but there are some updated Heisman odds.
Wait, real quick. Can we talk about this? Cause I didn't make a thing for it. And I should have. But did you see the thing that Trent Dilfer said on McElroy and Kublik's show last week?
No.
He was talking about how with people that he's talked to and people that are in the know, this idea, something you've pointed out for a couple of years now, the movement towards two super conferences
mm-hmm.
and just the like Power Five branching off to its own thing and having them like their own playoff and then Group of Five or whatever they'll be have their own playoff and then FCS have their own playoff. Trent Dilfer said that we're way closer to that than anyone realizes. Now, Trent Dilfer also seems like a little bit of a nut job, but
yeah, 100%.
He also might be in the know because of, you know, like what he has been able to, you know, probably extract from people that know more than us in that industry. So,
oh, and he's also the head coach of a G5 program. So,
right for now.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is the last year of that, but he still probably has a lot of connections within the media side of what's going on, given his background.
Yeah. Real quick, also, shout out to Mike Bratton, SEC Mike, in the comments. He just said he just subscribed. Make sure you guys subscribe to the new YouTube channel. It's technically the old YouTube channel, but we just rebranded it on YouTube. Where'd you find it, Tyler? Because I messed that up, too.
I found it actually through StreamYard.
Okay.
Where it's at. So, but it is Fourth and Wrong podcast. The logo that you see here on the background, if you're watching live, which thankfully 85 of you guys are right now, which is great. That is the show. And so go ahead and subscribe, click the notification. So when we do go live, which there's still a lot to determine with what's going on with the pod off season, in season, when we're going to record all that kind of stuff. But whenever we do go live, if you have notifications on, you'll obviously get a notification to your phone and you'll know that we are live. And if you want to jump in the comments, like a lot of you are doing now, we would appreciate it. We love the banter.
Yeah, I will say that going rogue and saying that I was going to start this daily pod on my own to keep myself busy, like a day before I found out that we were not going to be doing the pod at all was not my best. So, yeah. Thank you, Mike. He found it by searching Decaying Dynasty. All right, let's get into the Heisman odds and some of the other CFB stuff. I mean, we haven't recorded in like a month. Like, we've missed a ton of stuff. I'm over here gambling on Caitlin Clark, like, way more than I should.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with football. But All right, you want to talk about the odds? Because there's some familiar names here in the first 10 names. I think they're all in the SEC.
Yeah.
I pulled the latest odds from FanDuel. So it's kind of tough. You go through some of the different websites, and not all of them are updated. Like, Caesar still had what's his nuts?
What's his nuts?
Yeah, there was a guy that went pro, and he's still...
Xavier Worthy?
That would be a receiver. It's a quarterback. I can't think of it right now. But yeah. They also didn't have Cam Ward because he had announced for the NFL.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, that's right. That's true, Evan Grimes. No free ads. So I will say that I took these odds from a website that rhymes with can.
Crafting.
Can fuel.
Quinn
Ewers and Carson Beck tied at the top at plus 750 for favorite to win the Heisman. Dylan Gabriel at plus 1,000 is next. Will Howard plus 1,200. Jalen Miller of plus 1,500 tied with Jackson Dart and Nico Iamalieva.
Iamalieva, I don't fucking know.
So we'll start there. Anything stand out as a value to you at this point, given where all the programs are right now before spring ball?
So from a value standpoint, there's not a ton in the top five or six ever. Fun fact about the Heisman initial odds that come out. Only one time in the last 12 years has a player from the top who had the best or second best odds. So the top two odds in the initial rankings, have they ever even won the Heisman? And it was Marcus Mariota from 2014. There's not a ton of value in these regardless, right? Like if you look at some of the people that have won it, like, I mean, Joe Burrow is the one that always comes to mind because his dad put down $200 and won 400 grand. Right. Like, that's insane. That's some insider trading going on for Mr. Yeah. Burrow. But like that I think is it kind of speaks volumes to this because the real value is probably further down. I'm not super high on Dylan Gabriel. I'm not even sure he's going to win the starting job. Cause I like Dante Moore. I think he could be really good. And especially in for a long term,
God, it's hard to get out of my head that he's at Oregon. I keep thinking Oklahoma. Yeah.
Well, so yeah. I'll tell you what.
Evan Stewart, he's got Evan Stewart there too, who, by the way, the first time that you see a non-quarterback with odds on the board, Trevor Etienne plus 6,000.
So you have basically, I think that's like the 20th player on there too. Like the first 19 are all quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Also speaks a lot about how talented Georgia is coming back, which is like we all know they are. I think their preseason as of right now, March 4th, I would have them as the best team in the country with Ohio State second. It's like, you know, the tail is a little time. We've said it for the last like 3 years in a row, it seems like. But Georgia having the player with the best overall odds and then the first non-quarterback with the highest odds for that, that's like I think speaks volumes like as well. Also, ETN coming out and saying – like what he said about Napier, why would he want to be the like RB2 for a losing team when he could be RB1 for a potential national championship team? Shots fired on that. I think that like from a value standpoint, where I would lean is somewhere that someone's gonna that could like make a run. It's a quarterback driven award. It's also an award for like you rarely see someone that goes 10-2. 9-3. I think the last one to do that was Lamar Jackson. I'm struggling. Who won it this past year? Why can't I think of this? Oh, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But like his numbers were also insane. And he played in the SEC. So I think that's really like one of the few times in the last decade plus where it hasn't been a player that is like competing for a national championship. I know that Caleb Williams didn't the year before, but it's only because he lost in championship weekend. They were like the fifth or sixth ranked team. Where I would go with this, Jackson Arnold, Nico, and then I would say Cam Ward.
Plus 2,000 for Cam Ward, plus 2,200 for Jackson Arnold. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Miami, you know, I don't know what their offense, it'll be interesting to see what their offense looks like with him at quarterback. I mean, they didn't really feature the QB last year. Maybe they just didn't have one on the roster that could, so they just had to work around it. So I don't know if their offense is going to you know, be suitable for those kind of numbers or not. They're a heavy run team, as most crystal ball teams are. So we'll see.
And what do you think? The one I left off, that, like, because I don't think the odds are that great from a value standpoint. But the one that I think might have the best chance is Jackson Dart from Ole Miss.
Yeah, plus 1,500. Yeah, I like that pick. I mean, they've obviously gone all in for this year. Ole Miss is expecting. I think their schedule when it comes to some of the powerhouse teams in the SEC is probably easier than most. And they've gone all in on their roster in the offseason. And so, I mean, you lose Judkins too, so maybe you lean even more on the quarterback. So, yeah, I think that's a really interesting one. You know, Kiffin's going to get him his numbers, it seems.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the USC quarterback, Miller Moss, plus 3,000. I mean, it seems Lincoln
Riley.
Yeah. And, I mean, he looked really good in their bowl game. And so good, in fact, that their all-world five-star quarterback transferred out. So, yeah. That should be interesting to watch that as well.
He's in Boise. I still can't get over that.
So, anyone under plus 10,000 from as at least, like, outside the quarterbacks, Trevor Etienne plus 6,000, Travis Hunter plus 7,500.
That's a value pick right there.
Emeka Egbuka, 8,000. Quinshon Judkins, Evan Stewart, Donovan Edwards, CJ Baxter, Luther Burden, all plus 10,000. Out of that group of players, who do you think has the most value?
Travis Hunter and Luther Burden. But here's the thing, too, is like I talked about this last night with Mike. I mean, Brady Cook is a guy who was almost every week of last year was a top three quarterback in the SEC.
Yeah, he's plus 3,000.
Yeah. And so, but like at the same time, the Heisman has become such a what have you done for me lately award. Like we've seen it like the overwhelming favorite, not just in September to November change, but like from the start of November or even at the end of November and then go into championship week and something happened to a like, and all of a sudden you're not the favorite anymore and you don't win the Heisman. It is a very much what have you done for me lately award. Like if Mizzou goes 10-2, neither one of those players are winning the Heisman. Now I will say that I think Eli Drinkwitz does understand the importance from a recruiting standpoint of somebody like Luther Burden being in the talk for it. And I could see him getting like him a ton of touches and you know, and stats. But the one that you're not going to want to hear and team that we're all tired of hearing about since last year is Colorado. I mean, Travis Hunter is the one that has the most value.
Yeah. And Shador is plus 4,000, which I think given the nature of how that team is covered, the only problem is that Colorado, again, like, I don't know what their win total is off the top of my head, but they're not going to be good. Like, you know, you have to put such otherworldly numbers up to win a Heisman at Colorado next year.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know, you know, the Pac-12 does lose. So what, Colorado 12 now, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe, you know, the Pac-12 was obviously maybe the toughest conference last year, like top to bottom. So maybe Big 12 is a little easier. I don't know, but I just see it hard for a Colorado player to win. But I agree with you between the two, Travis Hunter, since he's playing both ways, I think that would be the value pick for me as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I will say this too. The thing with Colorado and the Big 12, have you seen the odds to win the Big 12 championship?
No, I just looked up the SEC today for our pod, but no, what was it?
It's the fucking Breakfast Club. Like everyone in that entire conference, it's like
Kansas State.
Again, Utah's the favorite.
Makes sense, yeah.
They're like plus 350. But like Utah finishes their season by playing at UCF. Like that's their final like rivalry weekend matchup. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, Willie Gray said this will be in pod form too, right? Sometimes it's hard for me to listen fully at night. Yeah, for sure, man. This will be up in audio form. We're currently on Spotify. I think within a couple of days we'll be on Apple as well. Yes, it will. This will be a full pod as well. Thanks for asking.
Since you hate us and don't want to listen now, it's fine.
What about the SEC odds? What do you have the odds written down? I took these from FanDuel as well, but I don't know if you had.
So I was going to pull up the national championship odds because that's also kind of interesting to me.
Okay.
They have all of these up, right? So like from a conference. The conference is in the SEC. It's Georgia plus 185, then Texas at plus 300. Ole Miss with the third best odds, plus 650, and Bama then an LSU tie with 950. Tennessee plus 1100, Mizzou plus 1500, A&M plus 2000, Oklahoma plus 4000, Auburn plus 5, Kentucky plus 9000, Carolina plus 10000, Florida plus 11, Arkansas plus 15, Mississippi State plus 20000, and Vandy plus 50000. Before you get into it, from a value standpoint, strictly from a value standpoint, the two that jump out the most to me are Tennessee and Ole Miss. Because even at plus 650, even though they have the third best odds, plus 650 is really good value for Ole Miss. And if you've seen their schedule, they've got two games in the very middle, I think, between like where they get OU at home. Or maybe it's later in the year, I don't remember. And then they get Georgia at home like the second week of November. But it's in a trap where Georgia has Florida at Ole Miss and then Tennessee. And so that's not easy to do. So they might catch them sleeping there. I don't know. I think Ole Miss has a better chance of going undefeated than Tennessee, but those would be the best value picks in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously like what Ole Miss is doing in the off season. You know, Missouri, I haven't looked at who all has left the roster, but I do know that they return pretty good talent on the offense.
Yeah.
So Missouri at plus 1500. I take a look at that. I know they lost their D coordinator, but I would like that as maybe a sleeper. And I mean, I wish Auburn would have upgraded at quarterback a little bit more.
I wonder if Walker White pushes anybody down there. I mean, if you've seen Cam Coleman in spring camp, he looks every bit the part he's supposed to.
Yeah. They're going to get it turned around pretty quick at receiver there. Yeah, man, it should be interesting. I mean, I no surprise that Georgia's the heavy favorite. Interesting, man. Texas is first year in the league. They're right there, favored to be in the championship game, at least by these odds.
Dude, their schedule is like – I was talking about this last night again. It kind of pisses me off because OU and Texas are two fan bases that, in my opinion, already need to be humbled as they come into the SEC. But especially Oklahoma more than Texas, shockingly. But they kind of got pretty easy schedules.
Look, I mean, here's the thing. Especially Oklahoma, I don't know if they'll be ready for week in, week out line play that the SEC requires. And so that was maybe a little nod to that, like, all right, we're not going to give you like the toughest thing ever, considering it's a whole new league and you got to get used to everybody else. That's the only thing I could think of, you know, because that's I do think we haven't seen, you know, new teams come into the league since when? What, you know, when did A&M and Missouri come in?
2012.
Now, A&M came in with like a legendary college quarterback.
Yeah. A&M came in their first year, and by the end of the season, I'm fully aware of who won the national championship, but A&M was – nobody was beating Texas A&M at the end of 2012.
Yeah. But then ever since he left, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Interesting. I like those value picks by us, but we'll see. There's going to be a lot of stuff that happens, I think, in this second wave of the portal. There's going to be a lot of – guys that are on either high-level programs or maybe they're high-level players that aren't getting the playing time that they thought they would get after spring ball. Yeah. Open it back up, and there's going to be a whole new wave of this stuff. So it's kind of crazy to try to bet it now, not knowing. But I don't know. Those are kind of our thoughts on
how
it stands today.
Where do you want to go next?
You want to talk about the NCAA versus Tennessee?
Let's do it.
I'll let you lead and I'll kind of fill in.
Yeah, one of the benefits of having a lot of time off now from work is that anything that comes out, I have ample time to read up on what's happening day in and day out in college football. That being said, I did not on this ruling. So I'm going to loosely tell you what happened. But basically, Tennessee, who was being looked at in the NCAA and saying that like the main issue the NCAA had with them was that they had impermissible – it's not impermissible benefits necessarily, because that's not really a thing anymore. but it also kind of was like from the phrasing of it. And that is, they had a private, like a booster, like give a private flight on a private jet to Nico to his trip to like Knoxville from California. And the NCAA got really upset about it. And I mean, here's the thing. That's a guy getting $6 million to be the quarterback at Tennessee. I'm not worried about a private flight on a private jet. I don't care. I don't think it's a big deal at all. The NCAA did. And in Tennessee, the state of Tennessee and the university, they kind of pushed back on it and, you know, like took it to court and they won. And like, it was, I think when you look at it, and we've talked about this like incessantly about how there's so many changes that have happened in college football. And I don't think they're all for the betterment of the sport. I don't think they're even being made for the betterment of the student athlete, and they're all happening at once. But that being said, I still will celebrate anything that happens that embarrasses the NCAA. And this is yet another loss and another L that the NCAA has taken in the last couple of years. And deservingly so. Like everything they have, their only thing that they're supposed to do is create an atmosphere that for the betterment of the student athlete in college sports. It's in their fucking mission statement and they just refuse to do it. So the fact that they're kind of getting exposed by, you know, like by Tennessee and pushing back on this is something I think we talked about for a long time, what we wished other schools would do. I think it's great. I will also tell you that whole move from Tennessee means that this thing with NIL is going to get much worse before it gets any better at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically the judge in Tennessee said that the NIL rules that the NCAA had were causing irreparable damage to the athletes, not giving them a free market, which who knows, man. I this stuff is so it's like unraveled to this point that it's just so hard to follow.
Yeah.
It's hard to even really care, because at the end of the day, these colleges are going to do whatever they want to do anyways. I don't think they fear the NCAA like they used to. And so, but it is rather significant that the NCAA continues to have their power deteriorate.
Right. Right. In front of everybody.
Yeah.
And this was one of those things where they were like they kind of like stuck it in there. Like I think it was all a surprise when they announced that Tennessee was going to be in trouble, or like that they were being investigated. And everyone's like, what the fuck? When I saw it, I was like, I didn't know the NCAA could even do this. Like, I genuinely didn't know they were still able to do this. But yeah, like, I don't, anytime the NCAA gets embarrassed, I think it's, I still enjoy seeing it. But at some point, Tyler, we're going to have to start, like, for me at least, I'm looking forward to the time when that's not my main takeaway and you start actually doing things for the betterment of the sport, which I mean, when's that going to happen?
Yeah, I won't hold my breath. All right, let's get a little more positive news. The combine happened over the last week. Seems like everyone's just fast as shit now.
What the fuck? Like, everyone in baseball throws 100 miles an hour, and everyone in college football and football runs a 4.4 or a 4.3.
Unless you're Xavier Worthy and you run a 4.21.
That was unreal.
That's stupid. Now, I will say, like, I don't think, like, coming into the combine, I don't think everyone's question on Xavier Worthy was, like, is he fast? So, like, I don't know. He didn't do any other drills. He just did he just ran the 40.
He's very small. He's very, like, when he ran, I was like, oh my God, his body, like, you know, Devontae Smith got scrutinized for his size and like the concern there. Now we've watched Xavier Worthy play for 3 full years and never really have he's probably been injured before because it's football, but nothing's of significance at all. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of wild from that standpoint, but God, he is small. Like he is very small, but a 4.21. I posted the thing from, remember in Joe Dirt when Christopher Walken's character died. He got shot and killed. And then Joe Dirt starts talking to him, and he's like under the blanket, and he gets a boner when he's dead. That's like Al Davis from heaven right now. It's just like, he's a 4.21. Raiders better fucking trade up, bro.
No doubt. Well, maybe they'll just pay homage, you know, draft him anyway. Yeah. My boy Braden Fisk
was a
beast, dude.
Short arms.
Yeah, 4.78 for a D tackle. 9 foot, 9 inch broad jump. Had a great Senior Bowl. I think he's pushing into second. I mean, probably not first round territory.
Right.
He is a little smaller, but yeah, he's a beast, man, dude. I love that guy. He was only a 1 year player, but put a lot into it. Marius Mims, everyone's talking about him, and he's a freak. I mean, now he got injured running the 40, and he's always injured. So
he's not always injured. He was injured. Well, he's kind of injured. He was injured for the SEC championship game.
Like, he hasn't played a lot in his career.
I think this is like a benefit to, like, this is going to be a benefit to Kirby more than anyone. Like, Amarius Smith is going to get paid. He will be a top 20 pick in the NFL draft.
100%.
And he looks the part, dude. Like, yeah. I think when he's fully healthy, which I don't think he's had that many struggles with health, but when he's fully healthy, he's a nightmare. Like, I mean, he is 6'7", 6'8", 340, looks very athletic. I mean, like, running a 5.07 40.
Yeah.
Like, like at that size.
Joe Alt, too, the tackle from Notre Dame, was around the 5 second mark as well. Both those guys. Crazy. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, yeah, the question on Marius Mims is, again, like Xavier Worthy with speed, it's never been his athletic ability of that size. Yeah. He's been a freak since he was in high school. It's more so, can he stay healthy? And that's ultimately going to be the question as he got injured at the combine. I think he just tweaked his hamstring, but.
I mean,
he may find himself in the top 10, honestly.
Yeah. Can we talk about the other one that stole the show?
Which one? Spencer Rattler?
He apparently did really well with his interviews. Fucking Caleb Williams coming in there and saying he's not going to do a medical eval for anyone was like, he just,
red flags with that kid, man. I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with him painting his fingernails. I thought it was stupid, but I didn't really give a shit. But he has just gone out of his way to be unlikable. And he's not going to do a medical eval for everyone. It's only the teams that could draft him. My question to that is, like, do you think it's not going to be publicized? Do you think it's not going to get public? Not only is it going to be public, but it's also going to be probably, like, manipulated to look way worse because of
the next interviews. Right.
So, but the guy that stole the fucking show, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, 4.39, right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Now, why are we so surprised by that?
He's white. He's a white.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Roma Dunze basically locked himself in probably the top 10. Thomas, the Washington receiver.
Oh, I thought you were saying Ladd McConkey. McConkey might win the first round now.
Yeah, he might, dude. I mean, he's like, he's been good for like the last 3 years. And the only times that we haven't been talking about him is because he's been hurt. I mean, yeah, dude, that's a blazing speed. Brian Thomas, Xavier Leggett, both big guys that put up really good speed.
Yeah.
If you're in need of a wide receiver this year, this is a good year.
The other things that stood out to me the most.
Dude, how about Spencer Rattler finishing last in every testing drill among quarterbacks?
Oh, I didn't know that. He interviewed well, right?
That's good.
He's like the opposite of me.
The quarterback pool was pretty, like, the top three guys didn't even throw, but yeah.
Yeah, but also, I mean, yeah, I love what Jaden Daniels did with the idea that he's going to perform at LSU Pro Day. Like, I hate to say it, but I mean, that's the move. Like, because if you perform at the combine, I love watching the combine. But if you're really trying to, like, if you're a fringe guy that's trying to have, like, really, really good numbers, no one really remembers what you did at your pro day, right? It's right. Like the combine. But, like, if you talk about 2 more months to fucking train for the biggest, you know, basically the biggest interview of your life. The thing that stood out to me, the other thing that stood out to me was I thought it was interesting and thought it was cool that we knew that 2021 Georgia was really, really good. But the way they're talking about this team now, I mean, you look at the people, like, they had 4 receivers there off that team. Not all of them still played at Georgia, obviously. Jermaine Burton, A.D. Mitchell, McConkey. But you start looking at the talent they had, man. James Cook, like Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers. I thought it was hilarious that Brock Bowers didn't test well, like in his interviews, because he's just like an introvert. That's just like, it's like nothing bad about him. He's just like, I don't really want to talk about myself. Like, this kid's not very personable. It's like, yeah, but he's a fucking freak. So who cares? Yeah,
let him drop to the second round.
Yeah, that won't happen. But the other thing I would say that sort of thing the most is, I can't tell if we're all being gaslit into JJ McCarthy being elite or not. Cause I keep thinking, I'm like, well, like everyone that knows more about football than I do is saying that he's going to be great. But then you watch him and you're like, is he great? Like, is he he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, no, I if the Falcons take him at 8, I'm going to be furious.
If they fucking take Russell Wilson, I will kill myself on public television.
The rumors are it's going to be Kirk Cousins for the Falcons, which, you know, I wouldn't hate. It's not that exciting, but if you could get him, and then ultimately it'd be nice to draft Jaden Daniels, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know if there's anyone that would fit more into the culture of Atlanta than Kirk Cousins, you know?
His wife's from Alpharetta. Went to Milton, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I would love if they got Jaden Daniels. I would love for them to get Justin Fields.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be willing to pay the freight, because I don't think he's a given, personal opinion. I've been throwing some questions in the chat as we've gone through. And so but if you have more questions now, we'll get to them before we sign off tonight. First one is from Kevin King. Chris, I know you want to keep it professional, but I hope you rage quit at the SDS headquarters, quote unquote.
I did not. When I found out, it was very surprising. I mean, our numbers last year were really, really good. It was really, really good. To be honest, like, full disclosure, I was in the middle of preparing for my, you know, like here's all of our numbers from last year. Look how impressive they are. This isn't like the overall metric, but I mean, just give you an example, Tyler. I think my own Twitter outperformed the SDS Twitter, despite having 312,000 less followers. I outperformed them by like 12 million impressions during football season. Tough to do. But it wasn't anything that was negative. It's just, you know, they are doing some things as a company that are going a different direction. Honestly, this isn't a bad thing towards them, but it's also a direction that I'm not really wanting to be a part of. So that may sound like sour grapes to some people, but people that know me and have talked to me about it, like, I've admittedly wanted to leave SDS for about 2 years. And I've been working on something that since about December that I'm waiting to make official. And hopefully I can do that soon, and this will still be a part of it. But yeah, it was, you know, I think, me included, I kind of thought my reaction might not be the most mature or logical or reasonable. Cause that's just, you know, I tend to handle things emotionally before I do logically. I don't think that's a secret, but here's the thing, man. Kevin Duffy, the guy who hired both of us and hired me, he found me at a bar in 2017, and like, we hit it off, and he took a chance on hiring me to do their content, their podcast. So I will always be grateful for the opportunity that SDS gave me. And it's one of those things, I think, that we both kind of probably grew out of that, and what there's the ceiling was met.
Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, I don't have anything negative to say about any of my interactions. They were brief, if I ever did have any interactions with anyone there, but happy to be out on our own and trying to build something, you know, from the ground up that is truly us, no direction from anyone. That brings us to the next question.
We'll say this, Tyler. Wish we didn't fucking rebrand. I'll say that. Didn't love that move in hindsight, but other than that, very grateful for the time we had there.
Kevin King says, I might have missed it, but will the focus and structure be the same as the Uncensored podcast, or more focused on the SEC? Either way, I'm here to support. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Probably more SEC focused than I still think we focused a lot on the SEC, even though we expanded out nationally. And I also think that the game is now changing, where you can't just talk about the SEC, because now the Big Ten is this, like,
right,
USC, Oregon, Washington. I mean, the game is changing. So we still like to talk about the SEC the most because that's where we're from. That's where all of our listeners are from. We've seen the metrics. But we'll still cover other stuff too.
For me, it's more so I'm never going to want to be in a position where we're being disingenuous with our coverage of anything or what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into something that I don't know anything about. And like, you know, I think we're both more comfortable talking about the SEC. That's usually where most of the, like Tyler said, the audience is coming from, but also like the best teams are coming from. I will say I really, really enjoyed doing more national stuff last year and watching more games. Like one of the things I hated about being, and I can say this now because I'm not there anymore. One of the things I hated about being on the SDS podcast is on Saturdays, we had to cover every single game like on that podcast. So, and me and Connor would sit there for 12 hours and you're talking about, like, I don't give a fuck about, no offense guys, but Vandy, Mississippi State does not move the needle for me.
Yeah.
So being able to watch, like, whether it's Clemson, Florida State or Oregon, Washington or like other games in like the Pac-12,
Colorado, USC, whatever, you know?
Yeah. I enjoyed that so much last year and really feeling like you could kind of get caught up in the wave of the entire country. Cause like, I love college football. I like the SEC, but like, I really enjoyed that last year. So we'll do national stuff. But I think one thing we're going to try to continue to do is not get outside of our, not comfort zone, but like get ahead of our skis and start talking about, like, I'm not going to break down Pitt and like, or like Rutgers, Michigan State, because it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Fair. Evan Grimes said, Todd, I don't think I heard you speak about this yet. How are you feeling about your new QB? Look, DJ, I've never been like a huge fan of his. I think, you know, he's in his fifth year of college. He was in a more pro-style system last year. I think some of his struggles at Clemson, honestly, had to do with the coaching staff. You've seen that they haven't really gotten much better at the QB position. And for me, what I'm ultimately, ironically, like Jordan Travis was at his best when he could run the ball, but they chose not to run him a lot last year because they didn't want to get him injured because he's a little bit frail. And unfortunately, he got injured. I think with DJU, you can get to what Norvell really wants to do, which is run a power run game and ball downfield. DJU's got a great deep ball. They picked up some speed in the portal with Malik Benson and
Picked up some number one JUCO player in the country, and I think I feel like he had one catch all last season.
Yeah, he had very, very, very limited numbers. So I think they'll run the ball. They'll be better on short yardage because DJU is like 250 pounds. But yeah. I'm not expecting some like Heisman caliber performance. Willie Gray said, "Am I still with SDS?" No, I'm not.
That'd be kind of fun, though.
Hey, when they take the couch, the fucking chair comes with it.
What if like you just, what if you and Connor were doing a pod now?
Yeah, I don't see that one
happening. It'd be a tough scene for me. That was funny. I'm assuming I'm the couch because I'm fatter, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's why you said it, you dick. Last but not least, we didn't bring the video up because we're unprepared, even though we shouldn't be, which is my fault. I say we keep the uncensored moment of the week because there's a lot of shit that I feel like we kind of left behind that were original ideas that just are left under that umbrella. Not the most creative bunch. But did you see, I sent you a link earlier. Can you put it up on here?
Let me see what I can do. Chris,
I'll explain it, but it's basically, while he's bringing it up, hopefully, Barry Odom, former head coach at Mizzou, former D coordinator at Arkansas, and the new head coach, if he's in year two at UNLV, in an effort to raise money for the program, not for charity, not for anything like that, but an effort to raise money for the program and NIL, he partook? Is that how you say it? He rode a damn bull. he did a rodeo. And then, go to the beginning.
I'm just going to let it play. It'll start back over. Here he is on the bull.
Real.
This is the UNLV head football coach, Barry Odom. Oh! Jeez, dude. Oh man, he doesn't know where he is. Oh boy.
Whew.
That was tough. That's concussion protocol for sure.
That is
Lord.
I mean, but like also love to see it, right? Like really cool.
I mean, well, I don't know if you love to see that, dude. That, wow.
Barry got knocked out by a bull. But also like, dude, congratulations on having the balls to do it. I thought that was really awesome.
Like, so. I think you'd see most people do like maybe a mechanical bull, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know. There's probably a handful of coaches that would even do that.
You know what I'm really proud of?
On a real bull.
Yeah.
For like half a second.
You know who would not have ridden on a real bull? And since we made it all the way to the end of the show without talking about it one time, Tyler, the new era of the podcast, we didn't talk about Bama one time.
You're welcome, everyone.
No, fuck that noise. So we'll talk about it on the next episode, baby. But Kalen DeBoer announces that he doesn't use cuss words.
If you got a problem with it, I don't care.
Kalen DeBoer. Yeah, we'll talk about that next later. We got a couple of last questions as we're closing out here that said, we got to make sure we still have the voicemails during the season. Are we still doing the voicemails? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to do also is brand it as angry fans like we should have done last year. Now we don't get to get told no about stuff that's legitimately a good idea. So we said about that. Noel Hottie, Jenny is in the chat. Love to see it. She said, thank you, Tyler. It's kind of rude. but that is it. Guys, I will tell you this. Super excited, like we've already said a million times, about the direction we're going in and what we're doing now. Can't say thank you enough to everyone that's like supported the pod since whether it's day one or from this past season or somewhere in between, watched it, you know, each week or tonight only. We hope you guys join us again. We're really, really excited about what we get to do moving forward. So I just want to say thanks, and we wouldn't be here still if it wasn't for you guys. So
no doubt. I got some nice messages. Been kind of on like a social media, not necessarily cleanse, but I haven't been really going on social media too much. But since the last podcast episode, I've been getting a lot of some messages on Instagram and Twitter, hoping that we would still do the show. So literally, it's because of you guys that we're continuing to do this. So I think it would be appropriate to do the outro with the intro video that we did.
Yeah, agreed. We'll see you
next week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We mean it when we say please share with your friends. Fourth and Wrong Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. For Marler, I'm T-Hawk.
Put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Guess who's back? Jamie's back, back, back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess
we are back, baby. We are fucking back. We're back. Yeah. Classic.
We are back.
That's
we
right.
are back.